And just found myself like, shit, like this, everything, it felt like my whole life went to zero, ground zero, other than the fact that I have total health, great relationship with my kids, everybody's healthy. So like, you know, that's a major positive thing. But in all of these other ways, and stability and financial and all these things, my life was, it was a shit show. And it was super, super, super challenging to find the strength within myself and the courage to become who I knew I was meant to be, and forgive myself for not trusting that and kind of handing my power over. And so it was a whole process of both reclaiming my power, trusting and believing that the gifts and talents that God gave me are super valuable.
Welcome to the Three Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you three simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, team, wherever you are from. My name is James, your host from Three Step to Thrive. Today, I'm super happy to have Krista Inikofsky join me. Say hello, Krista.
Hi, James, and everybody out there. Nice to see you.
So Krista, who also goes by Kritaski, by the way. I don't know if like fantastic Krista. Anyways, if if you want to, you can always call her or call her that. But look, Krista's a pretty cool person, and I've known Krista for a while. So I'm going to read a little bit about Krista's bio, and then we're going to get to some questions, because these are really interesting, and I've been meaning to ask them anyhow, but now we get the opportunity. So Krista is a high-achieving, big-vision professionals and entrepreneurs work with Krista Inikofsky to expand their vision and impact with mindset success strategies to thrive in all areas of life. Krista founded Empowered, like the letter M and Empowered, Teen Success, a program that empowers tweens and teenagers with self-confidence and connection. Krista is an experienced speaker, coach, facilitator, and MC, combining professionalism, flair, and empathy. Krista engages others in inspiring and professional growth and vision. So this is Krista's background, but I know you do a whole lot more than that. So this is my short version of Krista doing, like, Krista's awesome. So she not only business coaches, but she has her Empowered team, but she also is director of customer care at a place called JVology through Jay Facette. And there's hundreds of people there, so she takes care of everybody there. And you're single parenting at the moment as well, yes?
Yeah.
Right. So my first question is, not only do you own your own business, Empowered, not only you're the director of customer care, where like hundreds of people from all over the world kind of bother you, for lack of a better term, they need something from you, so they reach out, and I'm sure they're pleasant. But not only do you have kids and are single parenting, but you also help people stay in shape like twice a week or three times a week over both Instagram stories as well as Facebook Live. So, and you are really good at it. Right? You were really good at each and every one of them. So my question is, how do you remain focused? Like, how do you stay organized? Is there a secret? You know, I'm sure when you wake up, you'll have all these messages on your Facebook Messenger, because that's how everybody gets a hold of you anyways. And it's from all time zones. So you really have to be able to turn off and sleep and compartmentalize. Is there a secret there, or where are you at?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a secret. And it is that I love and protect the morning routine that I have created, and I even teach it to clients. But I will get up and make my coffee, and I sit in my certain spot. I pull out my journal. I bring my iPhone and my speaker, and I put it next to me, and I put on meditation music. And I have an entire morning routine that is all about me. My kids are usually still asleep, definitely still asleep. And it really is about putting myself first. I reflect, I look at how I'm feeling, I'll write. all sorts of things that are just about being present. I love meditation. Maybe a little bit of combination of each, maybe a little bit of meditation, maybe journaling. I respond to what I feel in the morning each time, but I dedicate that time to myself before I look at social media, before I respond, before I open email. And I honestly think that that's the key. It really, really is, because it's about deciding who you are, how you're going to show up, just taking care of yourself, body, mind, and soul, before being the, reacting into what everybody else wants.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting, right? Because what you said there is you took a moment, and there was a specific thing that you said, which was, I take a moment to figure out how I'm feeling. Right? So you're really mindful in that moment, but I'm sure there are those days when you're like, I'm feeling really powerful, I'm feeling really productive. And then there are those other days that you wake up and you're saying, I'm really frustrated by something. And it could be something that's festering, it could be you had a bad sleep, it could be one of your kids, right? Tell me how you deal with that, I don't want to call the negative mindset, but that frustration or that anxiety. Does that take more time and more mindfulness for you to work it out? Or maybe it doesn't work out throughout the day?
It does, and personal development is a big thing for me, and I continue to learn and dive in and learn different modalities, and so I intentionally put myself out there in what I'm exploring, clearing, discovering about me, how I'm relating to others. So to me, it's a very active process, and that can open up and uncover a whole bunch of stuff that you then have to work through, right? There's kind of this ignorance is bliss, and some people are just out there doing their own thing unconnected. But I'm very connected, and so I have to be aware that sometimes that will really stir things up, and to be okay with that.
Yeah,
the journaling and writing helps a lot for me, getting clear, and then that quiet time of meditation gives me really powerful insights as to why I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing or what I'm learning from this. And I look at everything as a point of growth and expansion. And that's what allows me to be okay with not being over the moon all the time.
Yeah.
That's one piece. And then another one there, you really truly can reprogram your mind to wake up feeling good. Mm. And it's a process that I teach, where you go through before you even sit up in bed and feeling gratitude, connecting with an emotion of joy, of power, of whatever it is that you're wanting to be that day, and get there first. And then as you wake up with your feet on the floor, it can be like, silly as it may sound, you're like, all right, like, woo, got this. All right, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. And then you just like get up and bring that with you.
Yeah. It's like the other, and you know as well as I do, a few weeks ago, you spent a month with Jay Fassett in a house, right? With his family, I should actually say. So just so no scandals start, that's actually what it was. He was staying as a guest of the family.
With the family.
Is it harder when you're staying with somebody else?
In that case, no. I had a great, beautiful space. I often would get up before the rest of the family, head downstairs, and again, do my journal, my coffee. I just kind of kept my same routine, and it adapted just fine.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm going to be taking my kids on a road trip in a few days, or in another week, heading up to a cabin in the mountains, and same thing. Will most likely be the first one up, and I'll bring my journal. Coffee's definite. Have my music on speaker, and I stick to that same routine. It grounds me. It keeps me centered, and I can't really imagine life any other way now that I've dedicated this routine.
Yes. Well, I wasn't going to go down this path, but this sounds really interesting. So, and let me paint this picture. So you deal with, I wrote this down. I think you deal with quite possibly the most difficult segment of the market to deal with, which is stubborn entrepreneurs. But not that's not difficult enough. You need to deal with teenagers as well, right? So it's hilarious. You have chosen two of the most stubborn, I think, if not the most stubborn markets to work with, right? So clearly whatever you are doing is working, which is amazing. But tell us a time when Krista Inikofsky didn't have her stuff together. You know, one of the things that people know about you, or people who have met you know about you, is you're very calm and you're very patient, and this is something that you always have your stuff together, even if you are stressed and you can maybe get 1% of anxiety that you can pick up from Krista, and then it goes away pretty quickly. But tell me about a time when you didn't have all your stuff together.
Oh man, you're going into the deep kill.
it's my job, Krista. It's a podcast. This is how we're supposed to do it, right?
So probably the most challenging part that I can think of was only a year ago. It was pretty much all of 2019. And it was a huge transition year. It was my first time being single after a 20-year marriage. It was my first time living alone. It was all of these firsts. There were a lot of choices in my career that were made based on influence that I shouldn't have followed. I had lost track of following my own guidance and my own guideline. And the work that I had and was doing, and then right as I was making this transition, vanished for potentially scandalous reasons, but I didn't dig into that. I just found myself like, shit, like this, everything, it felt like my whole life went to zero, ground zero, other than the fact that I had total health, great relationship with my kids, everybody's healthy. So like, you know, that's a major positive thing. But in all of these other ways, and stability and financial and all these things, my life was, it was a shit show. And it was super, super, super challenging to find the strength within myself and the courage to become who I knew I was meant to be, and forgive myself for not trusting that and kind of handing my power over. And so it was a whole process of both reclaiming my power, trusting and believing that the gifts and talents that God gave me are super valuable, and that I have a lot to offer in many different ways, and that I needed to pursue all of those things on my own terms, even though I was being lovingly guided to take the safe route and go, well, look, you're a single mom. You need to get a job. You need to get like a, just suck it up and get a job. Mm-hmm. And so there was a really, really, really hard year.
Hmm. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's never easy. How do I put this? Are you happy with the decisions that you made out of that?
100%. 100%.
Is this what you envisioned as life would be, as it could be and would be?
It was the beginning of 2020.
and then what happened, Krista?
I had January, February, I was like, Jay and I have been working together for years and in a more of an independent contractor capacity. So to come on board full time with Javiology and just feel the alignment, feel the role that I was co-creating based on need, mm-hmm. connecting, all of those pieces were just completely falling into place. The aspect of traveling and meeting people at these events, like everything was fully right where I wanted it to be. Also had his complete support in maintaining my own business of Empowered with the Teens. So I really, you know, all that's coming in. And I still have all of that, but you know, just kind of jokingly, as the world has changed and crumbled, one of the big parts that I love so much is the travel and seeing people face to face and doing in-person work. And that's not happening now, but it will someday. Yeah. But everything else feels very, very aligned. And I had to leap and jump and go with faith and be brave and hold to my guns and a whole lot of stuff that was super uncomfortable at the time.
Yeah. Well, I can honestly speak for most of us who know you, especially since February, we're better because we know you, right? So I'm glad, you know, we're all glad that you took that jump. So thank you. Do you trust in yourself more? You mentioned earlier during the story that you were taking other people's advice. And I don't know if you're at liberty to say who it is. It doesn't matter. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be other business coaches. And I think one of the challenges that we have is that, you're really alone at the moment, right? Like you are a single mom and you're an entrepreneur. It's two of the most lonely things there is. So if you give away your power, are you left asking other people to make decisions for you?
Yes. Yes. And that's what I'm claiming never to do again.
Yeah.
And that's where the personal development work comes into play, because it's not just a matter of going, oh, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to claim my power and just do it. Like it's a true process of looking back and reflecting and understanding who you are and your personality type, or all these different components that bit by bit you can release. You can always make a change or belief and pivot and decide that something that you've held true as a belief for your lifetime, even that no longer serves you, and that you can make a new powerful belief and then actions that support that new belief.
Yeah. Good for you. Good for you. Let's change gears a little bit and let's talk about JVology. So you are the director of customer care at JVology. I'm going to go to a more comfortable topic for you and then hit you up again. Don't you worry. But as director of customer care, one of your jobs is to coach other entrepreneurs. And they can be worth eight figures, but everybody listens to you and you provide such good advice. Do you ever get nervous beforehand? Like, if Russell Brunson was here, would you be like, oh my God, it's Russell? I mean, put it together, Krista. It's okay. Put it together. Morning routine, drink more coffee, whatever it is. Like, how do you ever get nervous when you coach people?
I do. I'll be completely honest. Some days I'll start getting ready for a call and I'll have that, was it imposter syndrome or the not enough syndrome, where like, what do I have to offer this person? Yeah, I mean, even I can be even in the middle of the call going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do to like really add value? And then something comes up, I say whatever it is. And I think that for me, the nice thing is that what I hear most from people is like, oh my gosh, you really get me. It's a different, I feel like the type of advice and coach that I am is not the same as all others.
Mm-hmm.
Some are very strategy and tactics and do ABC and this is what you need to do, but because of my background and living and breathing more of the personal development, the mindset, though, it becomes more about the decision making and what you're choosing to be, and even the vision of the bigger vision of what you're doing with your business. So that's, but yes, oh my gosh, yeah, I totally get it.
No, well, you're only human, let's be honest, right? But it's interesting because you never ever could tell you were nervous, although I don't think I give you anything nervous about. I'm going to watch next time you interview someone who's bigger than I am and see what happens, because I'm curious. Tell me about, because you're right, you know, and I look back at other business coaches and I see there's so much tactics. There's so much like, you need to have a website and you need to have a website with a landing page and it needs to be done like this and da da da. Like it's almost like you have the business coach playbook. You almost have the business coach playbook with you, and you're like, if you don't fill out all these X's, well, no wonder you're not doing well.
Right.
Right. And I had a business coach that did that for a while, to be honest, and he helped a lot. But at the same time, you know, one thing that business coaches don't tend to address is that mindset. So tell me, because you have a killer environment now within JVology. I think it's a killer environment. You have a bunch of can-do people. You have a bunch of helpful, generous, yet high-earning and slightly competitive people all in the same field. And it's friendly competition, by the way. And you teach mindset. So tell me a little bit about the importance of having the right environment on mindset when you grow.
Yeah, mindset often can be the one thing that holds people back. They can have the action steps that they need to take. They can have all the pieces in place, but it's our underlying story and underlying belief in ourself. They can range from the fear of failure to the fear of success. that will hold us back and even self-sabotage what we're trying to do. And when people don't take the time to look underneath the surface, they'll continue to butt up against the same wall. And then they'll go, well, that coach wasn't the right coach. That wasn't the right program. I'll try this program. I'll try this. Maybe I need a better web developer. And they're kind of looking at external factors of how other people didn't provide what they needed, when really just doing some deep work on themselves will help let go and release something that can just make a massive shift, where you can step into this vision that you have to make an impact. Right? Most in entrepreneurs have something within them that says, I've got to get my message or my product or my service out to the world because I just have to, right? If you don't have that level of drive, then it's entrepreneurship's even harder and it's already hard.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to really connect with all that you are and then recognize the things that could be holding you back is incredibly important.
It's interesting, right? Because a lot of people, and I didn't realize this for a number of years. I think I'm in year 8 of my entrepreneurial journey now. And we've had, I think, 3 companies. We've sold one of them, thankfully. One of them is actually just starting up after mm-hmm. COVID, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But self-development, I've done more of that in the last, since February, actually, Krista, for some reason, than I have my entire entrepreneurial journey. And it actually pays off. And I don't know how to say it otherwise, but it's an interesting thing, because when you start a business, you assume you need to be working on the business all the time. And that working on the business is going to be the highest ROI, for lack of a better term, right? But you don't realize that you need to work on the business owner to be able to work on the business as well. Do you have a favorite story of yours of an entrepreneur who started working on themselves and found big success after time?
Well, you didn't prep me on that one. I'd have to kind of stand through.
You have to go through your mental Rolodex, Krista. There's a mental Rolodex you keep flipping over.
So what really comes to mind is an entrepreneur in particular, we'll call him Joe, but it's also a theme that I see is working too hard, like you mentioned, so hard on your business. You can wake up and start from morning till night, every weekend, spending all of your time, because there's always something else to do, right? The job's never done. And then you go, okay, well, why did I become an entrepreneur in the first place? I want freedom. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I want flexibility with my time. I want to spend time with my family. I want to be healthy. And it takes sometimes a shaking to go, whoa, I'm totally not doing anything that I wanted to do to become an entrepreneur. So working on that mindset shift with them so I was talking to Joe and said, you have to understand the value of the time in the morning to do this meditation and journaling. And until you value the time, you're not gonna do it. And until you value the time to carve out to go for the run, or your yoga, or he was alternating one and then the other. So until you can value that is as important as spending time on your business, you're never going to do it. And so the shift becomes in valuing them, right? Mm-hmm. I'm enough. My health is important. And then also opening that up into dedicating family time. And there's also there's a trust issue that's involved here as well. The lack of trust says I need to work in my business 24 hours a day. It's the only way I'm going to succeed. And when you can shift that mindset to go, I can be very, very successful working 6 to 7 hours a day, checking my email, you know, maybe another hour or something mm-hmm. later just to check in. But I'm going to dedicate that. I trust I can build a business model and a lifestyle that works for what I want, will keep my body healthy, will keep my relationship healthy with both my kids, my spouse, my partner, my social life. Mm-hmm. And so it is, it's a release and a letting go of this misconception that you have to work yourself to the bone to be successful.
Yeah.
So that those are some of the mindset pivots that need to happen.
Right. It's like, I think the analogy is almost like when you work on yourself, you're sharpening the saw. Instead of working 24 hours a day with a dull saw trying to chop down a tree, and it's not just not working at all because there's no blade left, right? There's no sharpness left. You're replacing productive work with hard work, and that doesn't always work, does it?
It's so true. And whenever I work with my teenagers and my teen groups, the first day is all about emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We explore emotions, and then I help them recognize that all emotions fall into one of two categories. They're either suffering state emotions or beautiful state emotions, and give them the power to understand that while they may find themselves suffering, they have the power to shift into a higher state emotion that's a beautiful state, and that creativity and creation only comes when you're in a beautiful state emotion. So if you put yourself in a state of suffering, lack, not enough, all of any of these heavy emotions, and you're trying to move forward in your business, you're not going to like the work. The creativity won't be there. The ideas won't be there. You won't be happy with the content. So you're better to step off, walk away, take a walk, pet the dog, go color with your little one, whatever that looks like for you, and then come back fresh and creative.
Right. Right. Tell me about this empowered teen program that you have.
Yes. So having two teens myself,
How old are they, Krista? Let's get some context on this, because teenagers have a wide span. How old are they?
Vera is going to, she'll be 14 in a week.
Mm-hmm.
She's in middle school, and Roman is 16 and is in high school. He's in a theater magnet high school.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And as I was transitioning my life and doing a whole lot of self-reflection on where my talents and efforts are best placed, the suffering that a lot of teenagers are enduring of just low self, and you can call it suffering, whatever scale that is, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just like, they're blah. There's a lot of unmotivated kids right now. They're like, nothing excites them. They're kind of bored, don't know what to do. And others have low self-esteem, low self-worth, depression, anxiety, like there's this whole scale. And I thought, I look around and I see most kids that got an iPhone in one hand and a Starbucks in the other, and they're crying that their life's hard. I'm like, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought all these components in mindset that I've been doing, so mindset, mindfulness, meditation, moving the body with yoga, and as a mastermind facilitator, which is bringing people together in a small group to bring out the best in each other, I was like, I'm going to do all that for kids. I know that this group is pretty scary to a lot of people, but I think they're pretty cool when you put them in a good environment. And so I've been working actually with most of the parents are entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because when you're that kind of a go-getter, most entrepreneurs have used coaching to some level to get to where they are. And so they recognize that, wow, if my kid can be exposed to personal development coaching, to building their self-confidence, to learning how to communicate, that's a big part of what I do is getting the kids to talk. If they can learn that, then they'll have all the more ability to be successful in their years, whether they're college bound or entrepreneur bound or both. And that's how it really came to be. It was one of those like God downloads of like, hey, Krista, I've taught you how to do this. Here's a group that aren't being taught or given an opportunity to do it. And I just connected the dots.
Well, they're sorely underserved, probably because it's so difficult and everybody's scared and there's some truth to that. Let me ask you this question about teens. Okay, and I remember growing up, and I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed all that much because I was a teenager 3 years ago. Obviously, as were you, Krista, right?
Maybe you might talk.
No, it's all good. And Krista has a dog, by the way. Now we know. The question I have is, as a teenager, you tend to go to the lowest common denominator. What do I mean by that? I mean, as a social culture, do you remember when you were a teen, like, this sucks, this blows? I don't even know if they use those terms anymore. I don't think they do. But like, you know, it's like everything sucks. Oh, I didn't do my homework. Oh my God, I can't believe that I have to do this. Like, it's almost like you complain and you go into that victim mentality all the time. And here you are, your beacon of light, beacon of hope program that you hope you can change, like maybe five, maybe 10 teens at a time, right? And yet, as entrepreneurs, we're always told, be positive. Be positive with your mindset. Yet, we during our most formative years of high school, right, we're taught this sucks. And that's just the culture, right? And to blend in, you have to say those things. How do you teach the teens to not fall into that trap? Or maybe, I don't know if they can fake it or not, but maybe just be like, look, I know it's difficult. Maybe you should fake it this time, but this is actually how you actually believe.
Yeah, that's a great question. And when by having a small group working together, I create a safe space where there's this environment that it's good to be good. And it's fine to be real. And I'm super open about them feeling their feelings. And at the same time, doesn't it feel better to be supported, to be supportive, to listen? And we do a lot of role playing because it's fun for them. You can to be able to both act out the stuff that's really happening and when it feels icky, and then to switch it up and role play that into a better, a different alternative to how you would respond to a friend, or how not to continue gossip when, you know, girlfriend A is talking about girlfriend B, and then do you feed it or do you walk away and ignore it? So by bringing the real life conversations that they're having to the table, and then asking them for suggestions on other ways that they would position it and do it, they're in a space where like, okay, I'm not alone. There's other people that are here, and they know that they're not going to get bullied in front of me. So it creates this safe space and opportunity for them to share. And then as they get, you know, more comfortable with it, then they can start to make those changes in real life. And as I say, even if it doesn't mean you have to stand up and be like, that's not very nice. You shouldn't say that. That's too far, right? Because I don't want them getting bullied or knocked in the face. But just by not engaging in the bad behavior or in trying to neutralize it, or a simple comment of, oh, I think your skirt's cute, instead of going into where it was bad. So just giving them both, you know, tips and advice and letting them come up with ideas has been really powerful.
Do you think that they, you provide tools to them, right? Mm-hmm. You provide tools to deal with it. Is the product actually confidence in oneself?
Yes. Yeah, my belief is that it starts with self-love and self-confidence and accepting of who you are. We go through that there's no one way to look. There's no one height or color or hairstyle or, you know, family background, that there is no one thing that we're all trying to fit into, and to own and embrace who you are and who you're becoming. And when you can love yourself, that sense of authentic connection to who you are becomes that decision, that the point where you can make stronger, bolder decisions based on loving you. And that even dials into, you know, preparing them before they have boyfriends, or maybe they have one already, that their worth and value comes from themselves, not by being loved by a boyfriend and then dropped like a hot potato.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, Krista, but it sounds like a program that is sorely needed, right? It's almost one that if you really nail it, you can license this out to the schools and have facilitators, and then you could be the next Jay Facet, right? But, you know, the cool thing is there's so much opportunity out there, but you're having trouble filling your program, and that's really sad. Why do people not do it? Like, and let me describe this as a parent, because I'm a parent of a 5-year-old and 2-year-old, and Lord knows I'm getting anxious about about high school, right? And or about teenage years. And I know one of my good friends, her daughter just turned 10, and she the other day she's like, and then there's going to be like sex and drugs and smoking and drinking, and you're like, whoa, bring it. She's just 10, right? But like, why don't more people enroll in your program? Is it fear, or is it putting?
I think it's exposure. It's relatively new. I'm not doing enough to have these conversations and invitation. I'd taken a little bit of a lull from the end of my last 12-week course, and now I'm just starting to ramp up another one. And the interesting thing is I created this before COVID was a thing. So this was already needed. Now the kids are at home, distance learning, the world has changed. Their hope of learning how to be good communicators is getting way worse than it even was before. Being honest,
yeah.
Right? They're
yeah.
Face-to-face and learning how to talk to somebody with eye contact and facial expressions and active listening. They're not getting it. They're totally not getting it. So now that COVID's, or this situation seems to be here to stay for a while, a lot of schools won't go back to full in-person school. I believe it's incredibly important now more than ever that teens have an opportunity to be in an environment like this where they're understanding themselves, their emotions, their ability to impact their own life, how to be a co-creator of their own life. And so I'm just really excited that it's here, and I was looking for as many people to talk to about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Put some programs together.
Yeah, team, look, we're gonna drop Krista's program into the show notes anyways. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, we're gonna drop it into the comments. But look, this is a program that people need, let's be honest, right? And it's a program that I think a lot of the time, the sooner people can reach their authentic self, the less conflict we're gonna have in the world. And that's the honest to goodness truth. So, question for you, Krista. You deal with high-end entrepreneurs. You deal with teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a common thread between why you like dealing with each?
I haven't really thought about that. As I mentioned, the teens I work with usually are the kids of the high-end achievers. So there's this underlying that the kids are high potential as well,
mm-hmm.
right? They're already on a success track. And so there is an awareness and an eagerness for what's to come. I love creativity. I like out of the box thinking. I like to have conversations with people who are creative and out of the box. And that's just where I fit in and the type of people that I attract. And so that's where my connection is.
Mm-hmm.
People who are always open and open-minded and looking for how they can be the solution to somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
I think that is really exciting.
That's really cool, isn't it, right? And you always provide such sage advice. All right, two more questions for you, and then we're going to get to your three tips, okay? One of the questions is, out of the blue, you used to be a dancer for the Orlando Magic.
I did.
That is super cool.
Yeah, it was, I can't imagine first of all, I trained my entire childhood. So, and then I went on to have a very long professional dancing career all around the world. But yes, so during my college years, I danced for the Orlando Magic, which was when Shaquille O'Neal, we were Eastern Conference champions. I mean, we had the dream team and the whole city was supportive, and I mean, I was 18 when I was hired, so from 18 to 21, like, what better job could a college age kid have? It was truly amazing, and from that did a Nike commercial with Shaq, and a Nike commercial with Anthony Hardaway, and a Pepsi commercial with Shaquille O'Neal, just on and on, and the girls that I danced with back then are still some of my best friends.
How cool is that, huh? That's super neat, isn't it? I had no idea. You didn't put it in your bio. How am I supposed to know these things unless you put it in your bio, Krista? I mean, come on, seriously. But that is super cool. Do you look back with fondness? What is the one thing that you loved about it? And you loved it, didn't you? And I could tell you loved it.
Yeah, I did. And from there, I went on as I danced for Disney and in Japan and toured with boy bands and did a whole lot of TV work. So it continued, but there was something really, really special about that time with the Orlando Magic. It was the 11 other girls that I was on the team with each year. We were super connected, just truly great young ladies, as far as committed and dedicated and professional. And it was, there's nothing better than being in this huge arena and Shaquille O'Neal, slam dunks when there's 2 seconds left on the clock and the whole thing's going crazy. And then they play the music and we run out and we're, dancing and, they're not cheering for me, but it kind of feels like it. Like there's just like this level of intensity that is hard to duplicate. My last season, we were undefeated for every single home game.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
That's amazing. How cool is that? Good on you. That's a story that'll stay with you. Let me ask you this final question. We'll get to your three tips. You deal with teens. Mm-hmm. You deal with entrepreneurs. You clearly are committed to whatever craft you take up. You commit to being the best that you can, right? And that's demonstrated in a whole bunch of stuff, including being a dancer in all those different categories. And when you meet somebody, you're calm, you're put together, you're organized. What's an attribute that you appreciate in other people? When you meet with somebody, what is the one thing that you love hearing or that you love seeing?
I can see somebody's heart, like through their smile, through their eyes, that they want to see the best in others. I think there's a real sense that I can get for someone who's there to give and enjoy and share life and see what's possible. And that's a really big thing for me, is always looking for what's possible, opposed to someone who's experiencing the world with skepticism or judgment or competition. And so when somebody has that openness and that vibrancy of how much fun can we have today? What can we create? What can we do? How can we explore? That's what really connects with me. And then, you can have a good open conversation about anything and it'd be an expansive conversation and you would learn from something from each other. So I'd say it's an open heart.
Yeah, awesome. That's amazing. All right, team, we're going to get to Krista's three steps. So just a reminder to listeners that every week we bring on super interesting and super successful, and Krista, you qualify as both, entrepreneurs, and we talk to them a little bit about their story, but also three steps to thrive. So three steps that are practical, actionable, and simple that improve either the business or the business owner. Krista, the floor is yours.
Okay, so these three steps can be your morning routine. And it could be your whole morning routine. And then it's also a mindset that you can keep throughout the day. So the first one is to clear. You just wake up and clear out anything that's not serving you. It could be forgiveness of yourself, forgiveness of someone else. It could be clearing out whatever story you had from before. We can't move forward when we're still full of resentment or past story. So clear it out. That would be my step one.
Okay. What does that look like? Is that a conversation with yourself and saying and talking it through? Is that right?
Look, it can be as easy as just going, especially if something comes up, right? If you're feeling tension in something, it could happen during the day. Maybe you and I are having a business conversation and something comes up within you and you recognize, oh my gosh, this is, I'm getting triggered and it's not you, Krista. It's the relationship I have with my business partner from 3 years ago, and I'm recognizing that I'm feeling that again. So it's as simple as just telling yourself, I clear it and let it go.
Okay. Awesome.
There's a phrase I like that's called destroy and uncreate. Mm-hmm. I destroy and uncreate it all.
Awesome. Second point.
All right. So once you have cleared it, the next one I would say is ignite. And that's kind of my one word that encompasses taking care of your physical body. So doing something that actively moves you, whatever form of exercise looks like, as well as the nourishment that you're putting in your body. So we can't do anything if we're not healthy. So ignite is making sure throughout your day you're making great choices and what you do and don't put in your system, and that you're doing some sort of activity that speaks to you, right? You don't have to do somebody else's program. If you like to dance or do Zumba or take a walk or whatever, jump on your kid's trampoline, do whatever lights you up, but do something. Mm-hmm. So that's ignite. That'd be number two.
Okay. You got one more.
One more would be create. So that create for me is having a vision. It can be a vision for the day. It can be reminding yourself what your overall vision is. It's just knowing we're creative beings. And if we stop creating, we start to die. Hmm. And it was getting a little tough. I at the beginning of every month, I remind people to get out journaling, set an intention for the month. And I was like, all right, here's a new month. And it's summertime, and normally my creation would be, we're gonna go here, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. And it felt like, oh my gosh, what if I can't really do all those things? Mm. I wanna stay safe and stay home and all this. And so I was thinking and then shared on a live how important it is that we don't stop creating. Just because the world isn't exactly what it once was, it will be. Yeah. And so in our minds, we need to keep traveling the world and keep planning where we're going and keep planning to meet friends and go to concerts and all of these things. Just because we can't do it now, I don't want it to leave your mind, because if we all collectively hold that vision and that energy for this space in the world that we want it to be, we can help shift it in that direction.
Do you notice that when you're talking to people with, you know, during the time of COVID, because it's July of 2020, we're recording this, do you find they have one of two outlooks? One of them is super optimistic and I got this and it's an opportunity, and the other one's kind of the contraction. Is that what you're finding, Krista?
I would say what I find pretty much across the board is confusion. Hmm. And these are, you know, I consider myself pretty smart and I have pretty smart friends. Hmm. And we have these conversations, there's so much information that doesn't really line up, that as much intelligence as we try to put behind it, it's just hard to come up with what feels like a solid solution or a way of being. It's like this balance between being safe but not being afraid. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it just feels like this kind of mushy space in the middle of not letting it ruin your life, right? Still thriving, but this, you know, where do I fit in this plane of being safe and not being afraid?
Yeah.
And what does that look like for me and my family?
And when you mean squishy bread, you mean like underbaked bread that we all have, because we're all baking at the moment, right, team? And I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. I have bread in the oven, come to think about it. All right, Krista, in your own words, really quickly, those three steps again.
Clear. Get fresh every day. Ignite your body and be creative with your mind and your visions.
Awesome. Amazing. Amazing steps. Team, we're going to wrap it up soon. Krista, we've talked about your time dancing, we've talked about the challenges that you faced in 2019, we've talked about opportunities and teenagers and entrepreneurs and all sorts of stuff, really. What are your final thoughts for our listeners?
My final thought would be that you are the powerful creator of your life, and that's a mindset and an ownership to own it and to develop it every day and to make that choice. That you have the choice in what you envision, what you create, the energy you choose to be and choose to show up as. Regardless of the past, regardless of circumstance, you have that power to co-create the life that you want, and surround yourself with other people who believe that, who will support that, who you can co-create just in conversation, an idea share. And as we do that, we become expansive human beings full of possibility. And that's when life is exciting.
Awesome. Krista, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. So thank you so much for joining us today.
It has been my pleasure. You have great questions. This has been a ton of fun.
Well, you're normally on the other side. Let's be honest. You're normally the one that's interviewing people. This is a new one. But it's really nice to get to know you and you know, the Krista outside of JV too, right? Because you have so much to offer the world. So thank you for joining us. And team, again, my name is James Lamb. We had it was lovely to have Krista Inikofsky from Empowered Teens here on the show. Each week we bring on interesting. Sorry, Krista, you have me all tongue-tied now. You were so deep, I'm all emotional. I can't do the close anymore. let me try this one more time. It's been a pleasure having Krista Inikofsky on the show. Three steps to thrive. Always we bring on successful and interesting entrepreneurs. Who leave us with three steps that are practical, actionable, and simple to improve yourself as a business owner or the business itself. Team, I appreciate each and every one of you. Same time, same place next week, and we'll talk to you then.
Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay, guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week. And have a great few days.